Is the new Rushdie Fatwa just more 80s revival?
Answer me this, answer me this.
What have One True Voice been up to since Pop Stars The Rivals?
Answer me this, answer me this. Helen and Ollie, answer me this.
Well, here's a question from Ian. He says, I recently watched Kez for the first time. I was fairly confident throughout that the eponymous Kez was not going to live to see the final credits roll.
Can we spoil this?
Well, it is from 1969, right, so I think we're safe.
Anyone you're right.
Anyone who cares has seen it in the past 43 years. Yeah, okay. I've not seen it.
Fine.
It spoiled it for me. Thank you, Ian! However, when Kez did eventually snuff it, I was struck by the realism of the dead Kez that child actor David Bradley lifted from the dustbin and proceeded to swing around the family living room.
Yeah.
Sounds like a very jolly film.
Oh, it is, yeah. It's a big musical number at the end. Everyone swings a dead bird around and then they all kiss.
Instead of a gold walking stick like on Broadway. Yeah. So, Ollie, answer me these. Firstly, was it a real bird?
Yes.
If so, was it really dead?
Yes.
If so, was it the Kestrel that played Kez?
Of course it bloody was.
He was one of the finest Kestrel actors of his generation. They couldn't waste him doing a Kez snuff film.
But he's made sure that he was able to attend the BAFTAs, of course.
I haven't seen the film, but I should imagine that one dead Kestrel looks much like another Kestrel to the layperson viewer.
Yes, I'm sure that's right.
You're not going to be like, hang on, that's completely ruined the film. They haven't made up that Kestrel to look the same.
Here's a question from Sophie from Middlesbrough, who says, Helen, answer me this. I can't believe she's asking you. How do I get to be in a One Direction video?
Don't worry, Sophie, I'll put some calls in. I am good friends with people nearly half my age.
Sophie says, it looks like the most fun thing ever.
Well, we just watched their new video. What's
Live
it called?
While We're Young.
Yeah, they're on a camping trip. Camping is not fun, even when it's in the glamping site that they're in, and I say that word with a great deal of disdain.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you're right, it's glamping in the sense that there's some kind of yurt, maybe, because it's got like
bell
five
tents.
Of them in it.
Bell tents.
Yeah, bell ends more like.
Big spacious bell tents.
But what it looks like is a sort of Christian youth camp, where there's no alcohol allowed, but just out of shot. There's someone who's supposed to be responsible for looking after them, masturbating furiously.
For God's sake, they're in a paddling pool with all their clothes on.
It's got a very summery vibe, hasn't it? Whereas actually, they'd have absolutely been freezing their nads off.
But it's September that this is coming out. Why go for a summery vibe? Why not go for an autumnal one where they're having to identify different types of fallen leaf and go blackberrying?
Why not go for Men Not Boys, Helen? Because it sells. That's why.
Right.
Because tween sex sells.
One Direction are like a Muppet Babies version of the Rolling Stones.
Are you sitting comfortably, children, for it is story time?
Yay! Story!
There was a young man called Dean.
Whose knickers were never very clean.
and he says, my teenage daughter... I'm now thinking of a man with unclean knickers the whole way through this.
There was a young man called Dean whose hygiene was always pristine.
But, right, thank you. That's much more helpful. Anyway, yes, Dean from Glasgow says, my teenage daughter came home from school to announce that the children's nursery rhyme The Owl and the Pussycat was actually a story of how the author had an affair and ran away with his lover. What?
Yeah, right.
So, Helen, answer me this. Is this based on anything factual?
It's a nonsense poem.
Yes.
I haven't really found any evidence that it means anything. Edward Lear wrote it for a 3-year-old daughter of a friend of his.
Yeah, but Lewis Carroll wrote Alice in Wonderland for a young lady daughter of a friend, and that's got all sorts of notions.
Edward Lear, though, there doesn't seem to be any insinuation that he had the hots for this 3-year-old. Apparently his sexuality was hard to call, but he never married, and people think actually he didn't have much of a sexuality at all. So because he never married, how is he supposed to have an affair and run away with somebody? Huh? Answer me that.
Actually, why would an owl and a pussycat get it on? If anything, the cat would claw him to death.
Or the owl could crush the cat with its talons.
Yeah, why do I sense that Martin's going to come in with an owl fact?
Yeah, that would fuck it up.
And also, why are they getting married by a pig? I don't think any of those animals really hang out.
Why are they on a boat? Because cats are frightened of water, generally. Some of it you could do, though, couldn't you? You could get a boat in that colour if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd probably cost a bit more than an average coloured boat.
You could travel away for a year and a day, but you might get abducted by Somali pirates.
And also, you're going to have an issue there with your round-the-world traveller ticket, aren't you? If you go for a day over the year, it'd be so much cheaper just to go for a year.
Well, here's a question from Fabio, who says, in my local...
Sorry, can we just pause and admire the fact that we have a listener called Fabio?
Is it the Fabio?
It doesn't say, does it?
No.
There are two of the Fabios, aren't there? There's the Fabio...
I'm thinking of Anne Grooverider.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of the one that's on all of the covers of romance novels with his tits
from
out.
The 90s,
long
hair,
chiseled jaw, ridiculous-looking
man. He's the one in the drum and bass combo, isn't he? He's had a very diverse career.
Fabio says, in my local park, Clissold Park in Hackney.
My local park too.
Oh my God.
Let's meet up with Groove Rider and feed the ducks together.
They have recently reopened the cafe.
We know. Bloody love it.
Big selection of meringues.
Yeah, it was a little bit pricey, we thought, didn't we? But basically tasty. I mean, it's certainly an improvement on what it was before.
Fabio continues.
Oh, does he?
They have recently reopened the cafe and sell an item called a baby chino. I don't know what a baby chino is, and they're rather expensive, so I don't want to buy one.
Is this steamed milk?
Wait! So...
Oh, it's a steamed milk.
Wait!
Okay.
So, Ollie, answer me this. Mm. What is a baby chino?
It's a steamed milk.
Yeah, as Martin said three times, it's steamed milk.
It's frothy milk that looks like a cappuccino, but most importantly, you're not feeding a baby caffeine.
That's right.
I think it's quite a clever ruse by cafes, because it means that mums who like to leave the house and do a thing that they used to enjoy before they were encumbered by children can do it. They can give the child a sophisticated adult-looking drink.
And pretend they're a colleague and they're out for lunch. And
Let's talk about our projected sales plan, shall we?
Time for a long email now from Robin, but bear with it, it is amusing. She says, my boyfriend and I have recently moved into our first house together in North Wales. Over the bank holiday weekend, we started to have a small problem within our quiet cul-de-sac.
We're trying to use it as a through road, but couldn't.
On Easter Friday, we had a knock on the door.
Rat-a-tat-tat went Jesus Christ.
And my boyfriend answered it, and was greeted by a gentleman who introduced himself as the man from number 11. He asked if we wanted our car washing.
Uh-huh.
He charges £3 and, quote, does all the cars on this road, end quote.
Oh, really? He's got the monopoly, has he?
£3 is a hell of a good deal.
Is it?
That's cheap. Is that inside out of that?
This doesn't specify.
Well, let's dodge.
My boyfriend told him, very politely, that we were fine. But if we did want our car washing, we would let him know.
That seems like the polite brush-off.
That does, yes. That sounds, Saturday, he called again.
God. Persistent. Is he not British? Leave it for like at least 2 weeks.
I don't know the half of it, Helen. And said, as we were new on the road, he would only charge us £2.
Because, of course, the price was the problem. It's just beyond our means. We just bought this house.
Good move, Robin. They haggled without even knowing it.
They're
That's the best haggling of all.
Here.
Yeah, exactly. They're playing hardball. Because they really don't care, so they can get a great price.
Yeah.
There's a lesson there.
Amazing.
Again, my boyfriend told him we were fine, and he went away.
But when the man from number 11 called the third time...
Monday came and he called again.
Jesus.
My boyfriend answered the door and the man told him he would wash it for free.
Has he got a fetish?
What?
This is weird, isn't it?
He thinks you've got a sexy car and he wants to rub himself on it amid lather.
Again, he was told we were fine. After a couple of hours, I heard a noise outside. I looked out of the kitchen window. The man was washing our car.
with the lather of his madness.
I didn't know what to do.
Oh, I'd imagine you would be quite out of ideas at this point.
That is a weird... I can imagine why what you've done is construct an email to us, because this is a situation where even the police are not relevant, are they?
The man's doing something helpful for free without being asked.
Later on, there was another knock. I answered the door this time. It was the man.
Surprising.
No one else in this cul-de-sac ever comes round to call.
No, that's because they're too afraid to unboard their front doors.
He said he'd washed my car, and what did I think? I said, thank you very much, it looked fine, but if we wanted him to do it again, we would ask him.
Well, he's already proven that he does not understand or acknowledge that construction.
That's right. Anyway, Robin says, the car wasn't fine, there was actually bird poo on it, but
wow,
I wasn't going to tell him that.
Wow, he's not even good at it.
Not even good.
That's why he can't charge.
Yeah. I then said that I didn't have any money to pay him. He said this was fine. And to pay him when I have it.
Don't pay him.
He said it was free.
Yeah.
He said it was free.
Don't encourage him with money. Are you crazy? Don't pay him.
We've only been here a few weeks, she continues, and the only other car we've seen him do belongs to a vulnerable old man across the road.
£50 and no one gets hurt.
Exactly. Do you think he just judges what everyone's price is? And they were £3.
Yeah, he's not going to the 6'5" tree surgeon, is he, at number 6?
We don't know if the man from number 11 is sane or not.
I think I know.
Yep. But our next door neighbour says he is, quote, a bit dodgy.
Really?
He called again today for the money, Robin continues. I said I didn't have it and he'd told my boyfriend he would do it for free anyway. He denied this.
Of course he did.
But left.
In the cold light of day, it was the most foolish offer he'd made.
So, Helen, answer me this and help us. What should we do about this situation? Should we pay him the £3 and then tell him sternly we do not want him to wash our car again? Or should we just leave it until he breaks into our house to reap the money he's owed?
What if he just starts raising it? He's like, if you don't pay me today, it's going to be £10,000 tomorrow. I mean, that's what gets the guy into trouble in the film Drive.
Yes, yes, yeah, it's that kind
of
thing.
Prison money. But also, I think you need to be stern. I think don't be welcoming. Just be like, look, we didn't ask you to wash our car. I'm not paying you to wash our car. And don't wash our car again. And I think a little bit of hostility now will save a lot of hostility later.
Yeah, you're probably right, but it does sound like he's the kind of guy that could then take a shit on your front drive, which you don't want when you've just moved into a neighbourhood.
Hey, but he'll probably clean it up again, so it's fine. I mean, the thing is, if he said everybody else pays me £3 to wank through their letterbox, and you yeah. go, no, it's fine, we don't need any wanking through our letterbox, and then he knocks on the door and says, I just wanked through your letterbox.
Yeah, then you'd call the police.
You wouldn't say, oh, I'd better go and get my purse.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Wilson, the ball from Castaway, and here is my song about my favourite balls. Football, rugby ball, volleyball ball, tennis ball, Zoe ball, basketball, netball, handball, debutante ball, bowling ball, baseball, big sweaty ball.
Answer Me This Sports Day, a marathon of fun and games, out now at answermethispodcast.com/albums.
Kyle contacted us via Twitter to say, your recent dissection of 50 Shades of Grey came at the worst possible time. My mum is reading it. My mum is reading porn.
What a 21st century take this is on the traditional thing of the parent discovering their child watching porn. Don't worry, Kyle. The important thing is to recognise your mum is just being naturally curious.
It's just a phase, Kyle. Soon she'll hit the menopause and she won't want to touch herself.
Yeah, don't make her feel embarrassed by discussing the subject awkwardly.
In a public forum.
Yeah, maybe take her out for a burger and see if you can bring it up in a natural way.
Well, the sense of it that he's going to be bringing up the burger in a natural way after this conversation.
I'll tell you the bit that you're missing as well from the history of Brighton that's made it an attractive place.
Oh.
It was the Linda LaPlante miniseries Killer Net, which Teenage Ollie Man watched in 1998.
Oh, Christ, did you remember see that? That was a very good Web 1.0 mystery.
Yeah, it was a sort of paranoid conspiracy thriller about the internet, but the early days of early web forums and stuff.
Yeah, and it was easy because people who would watch that kind of show had probably never been on the internet, so you could say whatever you liked about it and about the kind of people that would kill people on it.
Well, to be honest, even if you'd been to the sort of more exciting corners of the internet, it was all on dial-up, so you had to wait a while for your content to load, and it is possible that in that time you may have plotted a series of murders.
And how did that influence Brighton in its historical development?
Because it was set amongst a group of trendy young students.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the bloke, but Emily Woof was one of the ladies.
Emily Woof?
Yes. Yeah. Is it Woof or Woof?
Woof.
Emily Woof was one of them.
She's a lovely lady.
She is, yeah. Like I say, it was a very strong influence on the Teenage Ollie Man. I haven't seen it since then. I remember it pretty well. Jason Orange was in it as well.
Oh, yes, that was his big breaking up from Take That job.
Yeah. The background of Brighton that permeated the whole series, I was like, I want to go and be a student there, because it was the time I was applying for university.
Oh, never would have met.
No. Well,
if the pull of Killer Net had been just slightly stronger, none of this would be happening.
If I'd have chosen to watch ITV, So
if it weren't for Linda LaPlante, this podcast wouldn't happen.
Thanks, Linda. Well, no, because actually on all two or three, I can't remember how many times I applied for university, but anyway, on all two or three of my UCAS forms, I included Sussex.
And you said, I want to go here because of Killer Net.
And surprisingly, they rejected me.
Ugh.
So I never had the option to go there. So Linda LaPlante or no, I still would have ended up going to university with you.
They saw your form and they're like, oh, chuck it in the pile with all the other Killer Net fanatics. The seawater cure consisted of seawater, obviously, with the following additives: bicarbonate of soda, milk, wood lice,
what?
Cuttlefish bones, and crab's eyes.
Brilliant.
You're cured!
Wow.
That's just a sort of early example of branding, an energy drink, isn't it, really?
Yes.
I mean, you know, you've got a secret blend of vegetable extracts. Exactly, it's a crab's eye, same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as it's got the seawater in it, seawater cure.
And there are waste products, aren't they? You're not doing anything with those crab's eyes, are you? No, I'm chucking them out. Can I have them? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how enterprises get born.
They'd lock you up, wouldn't they, if you did that?
Here's a question from Catherine from Newcastle, who says, I've just finished my lunch and I'm now eating a delightful pink lady apple.
So some might argue you're in fact not yet finished on your lunch.
Good point.
Thanks.
She's just finished her savoury course.
She's finished her mains, possibly. I'd say the dessert, that's part of the lunch.
Ollie, answer me this. Why do they still make the other types of apple? i.e. Cox, Braeburn, Royal Gala. Surely the invention / cultivation of the Pink Lady was a game changer.
I like that phrase being used in anything other than technology. Makes you realise how stupid a phrase it is anyway.
I realise other apples are cheaper, but how can anyone go back once they've tasted a Pink Lady? I don't think I could even finish a jazz apple anymore. If you've never tried a Pink Lady, then don't, because you'll end up, like me, spending £6 a week on apples.
Yeah.
Catherine's point is a very dangerous one to make, because what she's effectively suggesting is that all the other apples should be exterminated and there should be one apple super race.
Apple eugenics.
Yeah. And I don't want us to live in a world where that can happen.
First they came for the Golden Delicious, and I did not speak out, for I was not a Golden Delicious.
Time for a question from Maddie from Sydney, who says, I am a student at Sydney University, and I'm also, to completely fit the stereotype, blonde and hot. She doesn't say that.
Fond of outdoor gyms.
Dirt poor is what she uses there. It's her descriptive term. As I was walking through uni today, I got hot and started taking my clothes off down to my bra.
Please, stop it.
Sorry.
Were you objectifying our listeners, you bastard?
Around 12:30, a guy was telling everyone walking past that there was a free barbecue.
Yes.
A barbecue in Australia. How novel. So far, so good, since I was saving my money for essentials like online shopping and alcohol.
Very well.
The only problem was the guy was wearing a T-shirt with a massive cross on the front and Jesus is our Lord and Saviour on the back.
Was it an ironic band T-shirt?
I think not.
Oh.
Although it wasn't explicit, I think that was pretty explicit, it was pretty clear to me, the discerning young person that I am, that I would probably be expected to join this society if I wanted my free food.
Excellent deductive reasoning, which has got her into this place of tertiary education.
That's
in the first
right,
place.
Yes. It was then that I came to a moral quandary. I am not in any way religious. In fact, I would describe myself as fairly apathetic and undecided about the whole thing.
Perfect for the Christian recruiters.
But there was no way I was passing up a free sausage.
She's undecided. A sausage might sway her.
So, in the end, I went, got my free sausage sandwich with tomato sauce, had an awkward conversation with a girl studying science, and I awkwardly ran away. While the sausage sandwich was great,
as they always are,
and my appetite was quenched.
Yep.
I immediately felt guilt.
The Christs have got
I think
you.
They've won, yeah. Were they Catholic?
Yeah.
That I had used and deceived these people, obviously hoping to turn me from my immoral ways for my baser desires.
They led you into temptation by having a barbecue.
Yes.
Were the sausages arranged in the shape of a crucifix?
So, Helen, answer me this. Am I doomed to rot forever in hell, in eternal damnation?
Well, if you are, then
we'll see you up there.
Yeah.
I had a lot of free Christian barbecues at university.
No
Brilliant.
Regrets. And they must have seen that you were a Jew.
Yeah, that's right. I used to carry a dreidel with me wherever I went.
Well, you kept barbecue sauce in it. Yeah. If you rot in hell, then it's too late, really, to do anything about that. You've already eaten the sausages of doom. But I suppose the point of a lot of Christian ideas is that of redemption.
Yeah.
So if you're really worried, go back, eat more of their food, and learn the lessons that they have to give.
What's brilliant about Christians, of course, is you could have stolen everything from that barbecue, and then if you went back and said sorry, they'd basically have to forgive you.
Yeah. The point is, they know that most people are going there for the freebies,
yeah.
And it's very unlikely that most of the people going there for freebies with cynical minds will be swayed within the time it takes them to eat a bat full of meat.
You've got to view this as a brand awareness exercise.
Yeah.
They're not expecting everyone to be a sale.
It's what Jesus would have wanted. They only bought 5 sausages, but they turned them into 5,000. As they handed you the sandwich, Maddie, did they say, "This is my body," and then when they squirted the sauce on it, they go, "This is my blood." Is Big Bird off Sesame Street a Muppet?
Students.
I don't think he is, because Muppet is a technical term describing a hybrid of marionettes and traditional puppetry, and that clearly doesn't apply to a man named Carol dressed in a bird costume.
There's not an official answer on this because
it's not important. Well,
partly, and also because it gets kind of complicated with Muppet rights.
What, there's like apartheid in Muppets?
That's right. Yeah,
fuzzy ones on one side, smooth ones on the other.
Exactly. No, because the Sesame Street characters are still owned by, is it Children's Workshop? I think, who produced the TV show
Children's Television Workshop.
Right. Whereas the Muppets, as a brand, are now owned by Disney. So it's kind of complicated. I don't think Disney do have rights to Big Bird.
They don't want him.
No. I never liked Big Bird terribly much.
No, I didn't. I don't like Miss Piggy either.
No, well, okay.
But I don't want to upset you.
They're very different, though. Miss Piggy, spunky. Big Bird.
Well, after you finish with her, mate.
Big Bird, hectoring.
Yeah.
Judgmental.
Busybody.
Yeah. Busybody, exactly. And actually, I quite like busybody characters. Like, I used to like Sue in Sooty.
Well, that's because you found her voice sexy.
It was kind of sexy, but also I just quite like... She was a disciplinarian, but she knew how to have fun on her own terms.
Like Anne Robinson.
But Big Bird just comes and ruins the fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Cookie Monster's there, Oscar the Grouch is there, Elmo's there, and then Big Bird's like, let's try counting. It's like, ah. Oh.
It's not that you can't pin all the education on Big Bird. There's a lot of enablers in that.
Big Bird is often the catalyst. If you look at who made this conversation boring, it's often Big Bird. It's your mum, isn't it? But dressed as a puppy. It's your mum pretending to have fun. That's what Big Bird is.
I feel sorry for Big Bird. I feel like she must be quite lonely.
You think Big Bird's a she?
Isn't Big Bird, is it a he?
I always assumed it was a he.
Yeah, I think it is a he.
Does Big Bird lay eggs?
Martin needs your kidney. Do you give it to him?
Yeah.
Yes?
If it's compatible, not if it's not.
Well, why would you give him a bad kidney? What would be the point of that?
Just being bitchy.
I need a kidney. Would you give it to me?
Yeah, I'd certainly consider
would
it.
Would you?
Yeah. I feel like Lou and Harold in Neighbours.
See, now I feel bad because I don't think I'd give you my kidney.
I don't want your stinking kidney.
I think the only person I'd do it for is my girlfriend.
Yeah, but you're quite a selfish person.
I'm obviously a terrible person. Martin, would you give me your kidney? I don't think you'd give me your kidney.
If you're going to die, yeah, I think I probably would.
Would you?
Yeah, yeah.
Ellen, if you were about to die, I hope this makes you feel better. If you were about to die...
No, it's too late.
I'd go out there fundraising for someone else to give you their kidney. But I just don't know that you could have my kidney.
I don't want your bloody kidney.
All right, fine.
Keep it.
You're not going to have it.
Keep your bloody only child selfish kidney.
Here's a question about R. Kelly's chart-topping hit from 2003, Ignition.
It only took me 9 years to come up with the question.
Halfway through, he says, the lyrics are, now it's like murder, she wrote, once I get you out them clothes. Helen, answer me this, in what way is this like murder, she wrote? Does R. Kelly have an Angela Lansbury fantasy?
Well, if he does, he's got the same fantasy as Ollie Mann, presumably.
Yeah, mine was very specifically Bedknobs and Broomsticks era Angela Lansbury, and I wanted her to dominate me as a child. It's very different to murder, she wrote.
I've got a Manchurian candidate era Angela Lansbury fantasy.
I do quite like her as the teapot in Beauty and the Beast.
I'd stick my dick in her spout.
or Mark continues, is R. Kelly planning on murdering the girl?
He's thinking about it.
That he's going toot-toot with, and then giving himself away with one simple but crucial mistake.
Should have planned the murder when Angela Lansbury was not in town.
And could he have picked a programme with any less sex appeal?
Yeah, I think Diagnosis Murder has less.
Yeah, I think so. My favourite line of Ignition, whilst we're talking about it.
I think I know what it is. Is it, we've got food everywhere, as if the party was catered.
Exactly.
But really, my shopping bag just broke all over the floor.
As if the very suggestion of an after-show party for a performer of the calibre of R. Kelly being catered is so outrageous. He's pointing out something that you would expect to see in a green room of an R&B chart-topping superstar. You've got so much Highland Spring, they must be 6'5". It's just like, yeah, of course.
I went to Costco before the show.
You know, guess what, R. Kelly? You know, you're signed with Sony or whatever. Yeah. There's someone whose job that is.
I've got Twiglets to my left, crisps to my right.
So many spectators, it's as if the concert was ticketed. Yes, yes, that's what's happening. And here's a question from Ian from Taunton. I was just wondering, as you do, about Trojan condoms. It seems odd to me that this particular name would be used to brand a product such as this.
Why so?
Considering that the Trojans are primarily known for sneaking unwanted items into a sealed area and then releasing them.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
the next morning they open up lots of sperms, won't they?
So, Helen, answer me this. Are Trojan condoms, in fact, the biggest practical joke ever, and all those who use them in good faith find themselves unwittingly impregnated?
Well, he's got his allusion a bit wrong, because the Trojans...
Yeah. Do you think so?
it was the Greeks that were within the Trojan horse invading Troy.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Greeks are the penis and Troy is the condom...
I think at the moment Germany's the penis and Greece is the arsehole.
It is confusing, though.
Didn't Troy get burnt down by the penis of the Trojan horse?
That's what happens when you use a Trojan condom, Martin. It self-ignites at the end to make sure that all the sperms are destroyed.
Here's a question from Laura from Gloucester, who says, Helen, answer me this. Which way round are you supposed to put the jam and clotted cream on scones? And by the way, you'll notice that I said scones because that's how you say scones, and we're not having that debate. Thank you very much.
No, we've had that before on this podcast.
And it's tedious.
Yeah.
Not as tedious as this, but it's a dry week. Laura continues, I always spread the cream on first, then put a blob of jam on top, like you would if you were spreading butter and jam on a slice of toast. Yes, thank you. We understand how the process works.
Now, I think she means, though, I do it in that order because the cream is analogous to the butter in that scenario, which is how I've always seen it as well, Laura.
Yes, and, well, we're going to discuss this at length
in
a minute.
We are,
don't want to shoot my jammy load all over the question.
Or your creamy load.
But my two housemates feel the opposite way round is correct.
Oh, Civil War.
They like to shoot their creamy load second.
On top.
And they, says Laura, become deeply offended when I try to convince them otherwise.
It's because it's not important.
I've just Googled some pictures of scones.
Really?
Can we please swap search histories? Because I would kill for yours.
I don't know if you've been to Gloucester, Ollie, but apparently there's not much to do after 5 p.m.
And this hasn't helped, as both methods are shown equally.
Yeah, you see, the world is ready for both types of scone eater to be out in the open.
Yeah.
Ollie and I, a couple of years ago, met a man who one would consider to be a bit of an authority on this because he was the head of a clotted cream dynasty in Cornwall.
Yes. He really knew his shit.
He really, really
knew. It
wasn't
clear what else he knew, but he certainly knew lots about clotted cream.
The Cornish and the Devonians, they're constantly at war. You know, the border there, it's like Helmand province.
Mm.
Like the Lilliputians and their neighbours.
The little enders and the big enders. None of them have got anything on Cornwall and Devon when it comes to scone topping order.
Yeah.
So he sat us down and he told us at length that in Cornwall, we put the jam on, then the cream, because why would you want to cover up the good cream with the jam? In Devon, they put the cream on first, then the jam.
And then he paused, and then he looked up at us and he said, because their cream's so bad, they want to cover it in jam! And that was supposed to be a joke, and it was very difficult to know what to do, really.
But ever since then, I've gone for the cream, then the jam, out of defiance.
You know, to use a sexual analogy,
both
jam and cream are tops, aren't they? I know that they're sometimes found in the middle, but neither are bottoms. As this questionnaire points out, you have jam on the top on bread, but very often you have cream on top on a cake. And so you're used to both flavours on the roof of your mouth. Live and let live.
Oh, hi, Helen Ollie. Oh, hi. This is Dan and Joe from Brick House, West Yorkshire. We're quite drunk and on a school night as well.
Hello, Helen and Ollie. Answer me this. I messed up. Hold on. I'll start again. Hello, I can't say hello. Maybe I'm a bit drunk. Hold on. I'll do it again. Hello, Helen and Ollie, answer me this. And you don't need to answer me this. Oh, fuck it. Hold on, I'm going to have to do it again.
No, this is Pete from Bucks. Helen and Ollie, please answer me this. What happens if you get injected with semen and you have semen in your bloodstream? Is there it? I don't suppose there's any possibility you could become pregnant by it. Asking the question, it feels kind of stupid now.
Yeah.
But at the time, it seemed... 5 seconds ago, it seems like very important to us.
Hi, Helen and Ollie. This is John from Portsmouth. Ollie, because I've been on the website, there is no way that is your mum. There is absolutely no way that is your mum. And Helen, answer me this. Did he really come out of that? Because firstly, she is fit. She looks younger than you, Ollie. And you're an absolute munter. So I mean, your dad looking at him now isn't exactly the finest, but your dad looks like her mum. Oh, that is not your mum. That is just no way is that your mum. I'm not having it. It just can't be. And if you say it is, Helen, You're a lying old hag. And Martin, I'm surprised even he handsome as well. Helen, you punched so above your weight. I tell you what, it's one of the best. I've never been on your website before, and as you can tell, it tickled me pink. Fantastic.
Hello, Helen and Ollie. Stay from Smithwick. I didn't know you'd gone away. Well, I was with someone the other day, and they said, we're all three of us having a chat. And my one mate, Clive, he says, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. We were talking about something. And my other mate, he said, well, that's a catch 22 there. And Helen and Ali, answer me this. Where is the term catch 22 when they say you're damned if you do? And you, where is the term? Where'd you come from? Is it a catch 21 and a 23 and a like a catch 17? You know, where's the term? Helen and Ali, answer me this. Where is the term catch 22 come from? All right. Bye.
Hello, Helen and Ollie. Answer me this. Bugger. yeah, don't worry. I just messed up my call. I'll probably ring back another time.
enough rambling for now.
Good night, all. I love you.
Bye. Where's the off button now? There we go.
When I was an early teen, say 13 or 14, my celebrity crush was John Thor as Inspector Morse.
That's really old, though. What was it about him that attracted you to him?
Oh, I think it was the snowy hair. And also, I think just at the time, I had no interest in real relationships.
Yeah.
So it was purely a sex thing.